Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging. So we are starting a new series tonight. I am super pumped about this. I want to let you know, we're starting a series called Live Dead. You may not fully understand what that means right now, but you will in a minute. Now, Commission My Soul, song that we just sang, touches on that. There's a line in there where it talks about just offering yourself completely before God, just giving everything to Him. And that's what Live Dead is about. It's about abiding in Jesus. It's about giving Him every area of our lives. It's about living dead to ourselves so we can fulfill the purposes that Jesus has given us to live out. So next week, I am super pumped about our speaker. Have a guest coming in. Missionary to Cairo, Egypt. You guys do not want to miss him coming in. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be awesome. And he's going to bring the word. The week after that, some of you who are going to Bible college at North Point know Carl Hayes. He will be here on the 23rd, bringing the third message in our Live Dead series. He's an amazing communicator, amazing man of God, and he has a powerful word that God has laid on his heart for you. So I'm so excited for it. And then the 29th of this month, I will be back up here in front of this pulpit, and I will be announcing our overseas missions trip. So you do not want to miss that week at all. Hey, Cody, could you cut back aux 4 just a hair in my microphone here? I'm getting a lot of thump from behind me. All right, that should be better. All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to John chapter 12. That's a perfect balance right there. Thank you, Cody. John chapter 12 is where we're going to be camping out for the majority of our evening. Now, school has started. School has started. Some of you are snickering a little. Some of you are giving me like death stares. Some of you are excited to see your friends. And some of you are excited to study. You're like, yes. Yes, I love school. Brandon loves school so much. He came to the church and he's doing homework in my office today. He's just like, man, I just love this homework thing so much, so much. That's what I heard. So it was something like that. He was eating McDonald's when he was talking, so maybe that was why. Some of you are probably more like me. School just feels like this horrible dream that you can't wake up from. You're like, get me out of here. Get me out of here. Yes, Miranda's like, no more, no more. That was me. I totally hated school with a passion. I am not a morning person. Those of you who have been to winter camp and mission trips know this. I bring a coffee pot with me because caffeine is very important. Jordan, I'm not a morning person. I, on top of not being a morning person, didn't like getting up early to go to school and have to apply myself. So I didn't apply myself. I just didn't try throughout high school. Not recommended by any means because I barely graduated high school. It was by the grace of God that I got through. So I decided in college I was going to do things a little bit different. But the biggest reason why I did that is I felt like I was stuck. I felt like I was stuck in school. Like I didn't have a choice. I just didn't understand fully why I was there. And I think all of us can really understand that at times because we're failing to see the bigger picture of the reason of why we're there. And I know for me, when I'm missing the big picture of something, it's because I'm looking at it my way. I'm looking at it through my filters. But when I step back, when I take off my own view and I let that die and take on another view, I begin to see the real purpose. I begin to see the real purpose of the reason of whatever situation I'm in, but it takes me getting beyond myself first. Takes me getting by on myself. So, I think most of us would agree that the main reason for school is academics, right? You go there to get smarticles. You want to be smarter, right? You want to get an education. You want to graduate. What if I told you there's a far greater purpose for school? What if you knew right now that you were in one of the greatest places of impact that you will ever have for the kingdom of God? What if the things you do now can shape the eternities of the people around you? What if you chose to take this opportunity and just to live dead so others may live?
What if you just stepped up to it? What if your schools are just the beginning of a greater purpose of living dead to what God has for you? You don't believe me? Oh, school could be one of the greatest places of impact. Okay, you're with these people all day. Think of it. East Lansing High School, you guys in the house? There's a couple of you. Your school alone has 1,000 people in it. Eastern, anybody from Eastern here? I think they're all in band. Got a couple? Couple? All right. Eastern, 1,700 students. Waverly. Any Waverly? All right. 1,000 people. Sexton, there's a couple. 900. Holt High School. We found the school spirit section. 1,500 students in their high school. Their middle school alone has 950 students. Yeah, I didn't look that up. So, LCC, those of you who are like, yeah, I did graduate. I am in the greater Lansing area. LCC alone has 20,000 full and part-time students enrolled right now. If you're homeschooled, you don't get out of this. You actually have a greater one yet, because the greater Lansing area has a population of 460,000. 460,000. So homeschoolers, you are not off the hook. You are part of the greater Lansing area. You have 460,000 people around you every day. And you cannot tell me in these schools, in these districts that you're in, that every single person is in a relationship with Jesus. Every single person knows Jesus as their Savior. You cannot tell me that. That's an impossibility. And I guarantee you, there are people that you encounter that don't know Jesus as a Savior, don't know Him as Lord. Maybe they only think that the name of Jesus is a word that they say and they get in trouble. They don't know a Savior who brings hope. I want to challenge you tonight. Instead of viewing your schools or your communities or your current situations as I'm stuck here mentality like I did, I want you to begin to see the truth that you have been sent there. You have been sent. You have been sent. You are not where you are at by chance. There's a far greater purpose at hand, but it requires you to live dead so that others may live. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every person who is in this room tonight, every person who is here who says, Lord, I call on you as my Savior. God, I trust in you for my salvation, and I follow you. Lord, I thank you that you have placed a calling on their lives. And for those who are here tonight that don't know you in that way, Lord, I pray that someday they will. Someday they will, because there's no greater purpose. No greater purpose than to abide in you. And Father, you have a plan for their life as well. God, thank you for every person who's here. And we just ask that your word will penetrate the deepest parts of their hearts. Lord, we just ask for life change tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, in John chapter 12, you see Jesus, and I touched on this a little bit in worship, was anointed in a place called Bethany. Now, this is the town that Lazarus was from. We all know who Lazarus is. He's the guy who Jesus raised from the dead. How awesome would it be to be that guy? He was so dead, he was like decomposing and stinking. Jesus is a God of complete restoration. Nothing's too far gone. I think Lazarus is proof of that. So we see in Bethany that Jesus was anointed there. This was symbolic of his kingship. And we see immediately following this, the entry of Jesus on Palm Sunday. We see him coming into Jerusalem as a king, as was prophesied for him to do. And at this point, you see the whole town jumping. Jesus is at like rock star status. Everybody is talking about him. The entire town is completely abuzz with him. Some for good reasons, some for not so good reasons, because they felt him as a threat to their power and their status. So some began to plot to murder the very Savior that came. But you've seen others who wanted to meet with Jesus, and that's where we pick up John 12, verse 24. In this verse, some people were wanting to meet with Jesus, and he gathers them around, and he begins to teach about what's going to come, about how he's going to offer his life in exchange for ours. And he says this, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Love that verse. This is the entire vision of live dead in one verse. I know some of you walking in, there's a banner on the hallway when you're heading out. It's on the left-hand side near the men's restroom. It says Sudan on it, place in West Africa. On there, you will see a picture of a man with a person he is ministering to. That man's name is Dick Brogdon. He's the founder of the Live Dead movement. He's not a guy that just wrote some book and put it out there and challenges people. He's a guy who lives this out daily. It just blew my mind. I was walking by, that's Dick Brogdon. Oh my goodness. It was just kind of cool. So we're coming into the series. So if you're wondering where this whole thing was birthed, who God gave the vision of Live Dead to, look at the Sudan missions poster in the hallway and you'll see his face plastered on there. So Live Dead is a movement about authentic followers of Jesus learning how to just die to themselves so that others may hear the good news about who Jesus is. It's about abiding in Jesus. Now, if you're saved, if you're a believer, the hardest part's done. You're already dead. You're going, well, wait a minute, I got a pulse. I'm not talking like that. What I'm saying is Jesus has offered his life for yours. You are dead in Christ and resurrected with him. Romans 6, verses 6 through 11 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, that's the self before we were saved, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who's died has been set free from sin. Remember the wages of sin are death? You see where this is going? All right. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. That means you died in Christ as well. Death no longer has mastery over you. You will still die a physical death here, but you will raise eternal. Death holds no power over you. Death holds no power. The death that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now from this passage, you can see it is clear that we are dead in Christ if we're a Christian. You're dead. You are dead. The trouble isn't so much dying after we're saved. It's remaining dead. It's remaining dead. See, we are living sacrifices, but living sacrifices tend to crawl off the altar because we, a lot of times, have our own agendas, our own wills, hence live dead, laying down those things for kingdom reasons, for kingdom purposes. So, you find out how to remain dead. You do it by abiding in Jesus. And you're going, what does abide mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. Abide literally means to remain in, to trust in, to hope in, to continue without losing, without fading, without letting up. So when you abide in Jesus, you are saying that you trust in Jesus, you remain in Jesus, you hope in Jesus, you continue forward without losing the ground that you've gained, you continue without fading or letting up. You are relentless in your pursuit of what he has for your life. You are moving forward in this. And when you do that, nothing else matters but pleasing Jesus. Nothing else matters but total obedience. Living dead is living in Jesus, abiding in him, seeking his will, not yours, his, so that others may live. It's a pretty cool movement. Live Dead literally changed Mandy and I's entire outlook on this world, about the places that we were in, our schools and our workplaces and people we came in contact with, our neighbors. When we did the Live Dead Challenge, revolutionized it. Open up our eyes to an entire world of unreached people groups who have never heard the name of Jesus. Never. And I sat there and thought, how can I be so selfish? Sit here in a country with so many blessings where I'm ranked as the top 2% of the world when it comes to money. But yet there's people groups who don't know the name of Jesus. They've never had the opportunity to live in the freedom that I live in. There's people in the city that have never heard the opportunity of who Jesus is. See, missions always start local, national, and then global. Live Dead changed my entire perspective on all of that. It challenged me to live beyond myself, to lay myself down. So maybe you're asking tonight, well, how do I live dead?
That's what this whole series is about. It's going to challenge you to step up to the plate. But if you want to live dead, the first thing you need to do is to think dead. You need to think dead. This is letting your thoughts be filtered through Jesus. Letting your thoughts be filtered through the Word. Now, I touched on this 2 weeks ago about letting the Word of God, when you bind it to your forehead, how it literally means to let every thought come through Jesus first. Because before you think it, your prefrontal cortex takes that thought and turns it into actions. It's your moral center. So when you apply God's Word to it, it changes everything. You want to live dead, think dead. When you can do that, when you can filter everything through Jesus, He's the one who washes you clean, who gives you a fresh mind. And He gives you the tools that you need to change your thinking. See, because the more time that you spend with Jesus, the more you'll know what thoughts bring honor to God. Think of Philippians 4:8. It tells us whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is noble, whatever is righteous. It tells us to meditate, to think on those things, to keep those at the front of our mind. There's nothing in there about despair or brokenness or self-centeredness. It's about the things of God. See, when you allow yourself to focus on positive things, it shapes your actions. When you focus on things that aren't of God, it shapes your actions. Whatever you focus on shapes your actions. So to think dead, you need to filter your thoughts first through Jesus. This takes time. Don't give up. Keep getting in the Word. Keep spending time with Jesus. You want to live dead? Look dead. Look dead. Now, I'm not saying, like, Halloween's coming up, buy a zombie costume. You're like, hey, check it out. I'm living dead. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, don't be like others. Don't be like others. Do what pleases King Jesus. Let your actions reflect the things that are coming out of your mouth. In other words, do you act like you talk? Do you act like you talk? Are the things that you're saying, oh, Jesus, I love you, reflected in the actions of things that you're doing? Is that reflected? Man, Jesus, I'll give you my whole life. I'll serve you no matter what. Are your actions reflecting that? Lord, I want to grow in you. I want to be challenged by you. Are your actions reflecting that? I guess you could say, why or why not? Why or why not? If your actions aren't reflecting that of an authentic Christ follower, why or why not? Think about that for a minute. Every believer's life should show fruits, the results of knowing who Jesus is. These are actions that align with Jesus, with the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that you do a bunch of good things and you get saved. The Bible is clear that's not the case. Our righteousness is given to us through Jesus, but part of the relationship of abiding in Him comes this amazing love for God, and out of that comes the love for people. So how could you not be compelled to action? How could you not be called to live after seeking the lost? You want to look dead? Start that Bible study in that school. Don't go to that party. Leave that conversation that isn't building somebody else up. Stick up for that kid. Be that friend. Do the hard things that God has asked you to do. You need to look dead. Christians, if we just blend in with everybody else, what does the world have to see that there's any benefit in a relationship with Jesus? We just blend in, we look the same, we talk the same, we act the same, there's no benefit because they see nothing different. Your life should be a reflection of the work God has done in you. You want to live dead? Then walk dead. Walk dead. This looks like walking with Jesus, living dead to yourself, but alive in Him. Stop looking at the past because you're a new creation. 1 Corinthians 5:17, for if anybody, if he is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's the promise, man. If you're saved, you've been created new. You've been given a new mind. You've been given a future purpose. You don't have to walk in the way you were. And often I think we get held back from reaching the broken and the lost and truly seeing people come into relationship because we look at ourselves and say, I'm not good enough. I'm inadequate. I used to do this. What if this person reminds me of who I used to be? You know what? Let them, because it's a testimony of who you were, not who you are now.
God's given you a new purpose. He has given you a new creation to go forward and to share what he's done through you with the lost around you. Don't hold back when it comes to reaching the broken, the lost, the hurting in your schools, in your communities, the 460,000 people in the greater Lansing area alone need you to share Jesus with them. Walk in the love of Jesus, looking for every chance to reach them. Walk dead. And when you walk out who you are in Jesus, not who you are in sin, you'll begin to see an entire life changed. So think about that for a minute. If you walk with who God has created you to be and that authority, knowing you're not how you were, God's going to use you powerfully. People are going to see that difference. Last thing, you want to live dead? Then live dead. Live it out. Live this thing out. Share the hope of Jesus with those around you, with anybody who will listen. Because honestly, what do you have to lose? You're already dead in Jesus. You've already gained all eternity if you're a Christian. So what does the little blip here called our life really make a difference what happens when you've laid down everything here to gain all eternity through Jesus? It doesn't matter. We're guaranteed the end result with Jesus when we abide in him. Earth is temporary. It's very, very, very short on the scale of eternity. But for the lost, you, in this little blurb called life, could change their entire eternity. You could change someone's entire eternity. When you abide in Jesus, nothing else matters except Jesus. That's your main drive, your main focus, everything that runs you. And so looking back at our text verse, John 12:24. The entire heart of lived dead. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces fruit. Now the Greek word in this literally tells us, and I want you to get this. So if you're taking notes, which I see a bunch of you are, I want you to write this down. This literally says, direct translation, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the world and dies. Unless it falls into the world and dies. Okay? It remains alone. But if it will do that, it produces much fruit. Jesus is telling you, don't stay just in your Christian bubble. Okay? Don't wall yourself up within the church. You need to live dead to him, to fall into the world, into a place of brokenness and lost people, laying your life down, abiding in Jesus so others may live, producing that fruit. Now, I'm not saying go out of here and let your core group of influencer friends all be non-saved people. I'm not saying that. That is not recommended. Jesus himself alone had an inner circle of 3 and 12 disciples who followed him and built him up and encouraged him. And you need to do the same. But you also need to not neglect the lost. You just don't give them a place of main influence in your life. Fall into the world and die. Think about that for a minute. Jesus is telling you, go into your schools. Go into your neighborhoods, into your communities. Go to your neighbors themselves. Fall into that world and allow yourself to live dead for the purposes of what Jesus has did it. He has commissioned you to go into the earth, all of the earth, as set apart, commissioned, called, and equipped people who are here to live dead for the main purpose of making Jesus famous in all the earth. So the whole world can hear. Somebody who's a personal hero of mine, he was a missionary and a martyr named Jim Elliot. You've heard me quote some of his stuff before. He understood this call to live dead. He understood this. He exemplified it in his life and death so that all may hear the name of Jesus. In high school, he learned how to think and to look dead. He used to stand regular for Jesus, keeping convictions that God had gave him. He used every chance he could when people would ask him why he would do certain things or why he wouldn't do others. He would use those opportunities to say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you the reason I have hope It's not a list of do's or don'ts. It's not religion. This is relationship. I want to make the king smile. In college, he turned down a staffing position that would have given him an entire year of free tuition because he thought it would be a distraction to the purpose God had for his life. He walked dead knowing the position wasn't what he needed to be in, even though I'm sure it was very tempting. Man, a whole year of free tuition. He didn't want a distraction to his growth in Jesus. He began missions work to Mexico, and through it, he discovered his call to the tribal groups of South America. He chose to live dead as he gave up everything that he had to reach a people group who had not heard of Jesus. Gave up everything. Now, the choice for Jim Elliot to live dead resulted in his martyrdom for Jesus and his death, but it opened the door for his widowed wife and daughter to go in and minister to the very people who killed their husband and father. And many received Jesus as a result, all because he and the team he went with chose to live dead. They chose to live dead. They chose to walk it out. And one of his most famous quotes, he said, "He is no fool who trades what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He's most credited for that. He modeled this in his life. He even turned down solid pastorates here in the States that paid good and were solid places. He turned them down. Seems like a fool's errand because he's still sharing the love of Jesus, right? It's not what God asked him to do. He said, "The people here have heard. Those ones have not. I want to go to the ones who haven't heard. I want to go to the lost. I want to go to the broken. I want to go to the hurting. I want Jesus to be made famous in the entire earth." He also said another lesser-known quote that I believe is your commissioning tonight into your schools, into your communities, in your neighborhoods. And it says this, "Rest in this. It is his business to lead, command, impel, to send, and to call. It's your business to obey, to follow, to move, and to respond." Powerful words when you see somebody who lived it out. Think of that quote like this: "He has the business to direct your life. You have the business to live dead." He has the business to direct your life. You have the business to live dead. So tonight I would ask you, will you allow yourself to abide in Jesus? Will you allow yourself to live dead so others may hear of who Jesus is? Will you answer that call? Will you be obedient?
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.